Which now of these three, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go, and do thou likewise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Baltimore County Public Schools went back in session this week, and lots of parents breathed a sigh of relief. As I was driving past Mays Chapel Elementary, just around the corner here, one day after leaving Father Kerouac's house, I saw that the kids were out in recess en masse, burning off the energy they'd built up while sitting around, no doubt enduring lessons on long division. And as they tore around, it certainly seemed, even though I've been told that it's been banned by the public schools, it certainly seemed like a round of my favorite sport was brewing. Now, some people are baseball fans, some are football fans, some are even inexplicably American football fans, which is a sport that I still fail to comprehend as middle age approaches. But me, I'm a fan of one of the most truly brutal sports mankind has ever contrived. Dodgeball. Dodgeball is brutal not only because the entire premise of the game is that somebody is attempting to hit you in the face with a ball they've thrown as hard as they can. Its true brutality is in the fact that teams are chosen by team captains through a process of elimination. And if you were perhaps arguably an awkward, chubby little kid, I'm speaking of someone else, of course, you sometimes knew what it was like to get picked last. Mark you, once I outgrew some of that baby fat and it was discovered that I could throw that ball like a trebuchet, I wasn't picked last anymore. But dodgeball is the ultimate game of us versus them. And as I was driving by, the us versus them mentality got me thinking about this week's gospel reading. Because even though we're Christians, and we're supposed to know better, it's easy to become something else first. A member of a political party, perhaps. Or an overzealous fan of a certain sports team. I know those Steelers have a vicious competition with the Knicks. Wrong sport? Or some other point of social demarcation or boundary, it's easy to identify as those things first and a Christian second. But if we're Christians first, we know that it's not us versus them. It's us and them. And we know that if the us's love the them's enough and are willing to meet the them's where they are, the them's might well start to wonder what it is that drives us to love like that. It's one of the reasons Jesus goes to such great lengths to make his point. He knew that this would be a constant struggle. The young lawyer in this parable naturally assumed that his neighbor might be a friend or at least an acquaintance. At the very least, a fellow Israelite. After all, although the Israelites were banned from plotting the death of a Gentile, they were not banned from not preventing it. Meaning, if an Israelite knew that a Gentile was about to, I don't know, be pounced upon by a lion or just have a boulder roll over him in some sort of Wile E. Coyote-esque event, he had no obligation whatsoever to stop it. So you can imagine how much Jesus turns things upside down with this parable. The Samaritans in Judea were not merely a second or separate class of people. They were barely people. Now, if you know Jesus, and hopefully you do, you know he wasn't one to waste words on idle talk, and certainly not one to waste words on platitudes about being nice. So he's not teaching people how to be nice. And although good works are a fruit of our faith, this is likewise not a lesson in how to do good works. It's a lesson on biblical love, It's a lesson on the way that God expresses love to us. I mean, what do we know about God from Scripture, from the prophets, and from Christ? We know that God is absolutely perfect and sinless. We know that God exists in a way that we can't comprehend, eternal and outside the constraints of time, space, and matter. We know that God alone is absolutely righteous and just, and that God exists in perfect love and agreement in the persons of the Holy Trinity. We know that it is God alone who sanctifies us, and that no amount of trying to do so on our own can accomplish that. We know both that God is love and that God loves. And while we do experience love, we don't experience it on the same scale or measure as God. And no matter how much we love our parents or our spouses or our children or our best friends, we are not capable of experiencing or knowing the kind of love or scope of love that God knows and experiences with us. And no matter how angry someone might make us or how deeply they hurt us, we do not experience the kind of sins against us that we heap on God. And even if, for the sake of argument, we did, none of us are as willing as God is to fix that. Nobody you know or have known, living or dead, would be so intent on reconciling with a former best friend who betrayed them, or a sibling whose behavior hurt them, that they would allow their very only child to go and bridge that gap with his life. Nobody. That is how incredibly different God is from us. So like I said, Jesus is not teaching his disciples how to be nice. Nice is for amateur hour. Jesus is teaching his disciples what they can do to imitate God, to imitate him. If God loved us so much that he sent his only begotten Son to be the price paid for our sin, even though we are so terribly, terribly unlike him, how can we possibly then turn around and deny biblical love and charity to those whose creeds or lives are so very much unlike ours, and yet still expect him to meet us? So this is not a lesson in manners or works or anything else. It's a lesson in how God loves. We have the privilege of loving God only because God loved us first, and we have the ability to love others as Christians because we were first loved of God. So when you are confronted with somebody whose life is so different from yours and so foreign to you, perhaps a different social strata or a different religion, perhaps a religion that seems so terribly odd that you almost find it offensive to your sensibilities, or a lifestyle that doesn't jibe with what you believe God expects, or, God forbid, what you expect of other people to do, remember that you have more in common with them than you do with God. You have more in common with them than you do with Jesus Christ, who walked among us that he might save us from ourselves. Remember that Christ died for their sins no less than he died for yours or for mine, and that he desires a place for them at the wedding feast. Show them such Christian love that the source of that love is something they want to know for themselves. Show them a love that is so genuine and burns so brightly that they have to know its source. Now, as one of the men in black at this parish, I don't make it my business to know or to care what your other definitions are. If you're a Republican or a Democrat, a progressive socialist or a constitutional libertarian, or an anarchist, or if you like the Knicks or the Steelers better in there. I'm going to try and get as much mileage as I can out of that joke, I'm sorry. Honestly, the only thing that matters is that you're a Christian the other 6 days of the week. Nothing else matters. Literally nothing else matters. that you're a Christian first, the other 6 days of the week. We are all called to make disciples of all nations, to do our parts in bringing souls to Christ. Fortunately for us, he gave us a rather simple instruction manual to get us started in godly living and disciple making. And it's the second thing we say at the start of Mass. We say, "Our Lord Jesus Christ said, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment, and the second is like, namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.